Check.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Men Wolfpack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Two-Man Wolfpack. As always, my name is Adam, coming to you from my basement in Minneapolis, and dialing in from Chicago, my good friend.
Brian.
Brian, today is... what is today? Monday, February 20th, 2017. It's been 13 days since our last podcast. The Wolves were 3-2 over the 13-day stretch, bringing our overall record to 22-35. We are 25 and a half games back of the Warriors for the one seed in the West, but only 3.5 games back of the Nuggets for the 8th seed in the playoffs. Brian, quick agenda, and then we'll sort of get right into it. I don't know if we have a lot of time for small talk today, because we have a special guest joining us in just a little bit. Jonathan Sharks of TheRinger.com has agreed to join us for the podcast and talk a little NBA and a little Timberwolves, and I am really excited about it.
Me too.
Anyways, agenda, we're going to go through some news and notes, and then depending on when Jonathan's ready, he'll be dialing in, and then we have a mailbag and a Where Are They Now segment. Keep the emails coming, guys, timberwolvespodcast@gmail.com, or tweet at us at TWolvesPodcast. Really good emails this week. I'm excited to get into them in a little bit. Brian, I don't know if you heard, but Boogie Cousins was traded. Kind of a weak package in my mind. The centerpiece of the deal was Buddy Hield, a couple draft picks.
Which is like, everyone who saw that was like, really? And probably what's going to be like a mid first round pick?
Yeah, it's kind of surprising. It is top. So the pick they traded, this year's pick, was top three. It's top three protected. So if they win the lottery, they still get the pick. So I'm very surprised by how little the Kings got in return. Boogie does have another year on his deal after this one. So it's not like he's going to be a free agent at the end of this season. Brian, it made me think, could have the Wolves offered a better package?
I think pretty much everyone could have offered a better package. Don't you?
I do too.
Not literally everyone, but anyone with some level of assets could have, you know, probably given them a maybe a little bit better pick. Someone also probably could have given them a better asset than Buddy Hield, whose ceiling is likely like the sixth or seventh guy on a good team. I don't know. It just was really surprising.
Why didn't that happen, though, is my question. I agree with you that it seems like other teams could offer better packages, but at the end of the day, they apparently didn't. So why?
What is kind of like slowly trickling out today, there's a lot of speculation, but apparently the Kings owner really likes Buddy Hield. He thinks he's going to be really good. TBD if that'll happen. I think they got antsy because the trade deadline's Thursday. I mean, they've been shopping Boogie for a while, and some people apparently did have worse offers. They removed some from the running, and then it kind of came down to, I think, this offer and, God, I already forgot who the other one was, but another one which was like probably a little bit less attractive. But yeah, even our team, like, I would argue Chris Dunn and our pick would be a much better package than their package.
Man, and I would love to trade Chris Dunn and our pick for Boogie. yesterday that would have sounded ridiculous if you floated that. We would have laughed at that. But like, that's a real, like, that might have been the best offer. It's so crazy.
That's what's weird. So what seems like the right choice in hindsight is, you know, go through, basically say, okay, everyone, we're going to trade Boogie. Send us your best offers. We're being pretty reasonable. And they had to have gotten something better back than what came from the Pelicans. Like, there was almost just a dump of Boogie for a little bit less than nothing. Like, that's the worst haul we've seen for a star in recent years. Outside of James Harden, but he was a backup at the time, and he wasn't James Harden, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I could put together like six packages probably from the Wolves that are better than that deal that I would, as a fan, I would accept us giving up for Boogie.
Would you have given up Zach?
No, I would not.
What's also kind of weird is the Kings seemed really worried about him becoming a free agent, but that's a year and a season and a half from now.
It's really weird. I imagine they could have gotten a similar to better package a year from now.
Yeah, or even this summer, or any time ever. It just seemed like a continued strange move from an organization that just can't get it right on like continue move after continue move. Like it almost seems to the place where what happened with the Sixers, where the NBA kind of put Colangelo in there to help them out. Although they had a plan, the league just didn't like the plan. The Kings have no plan. They're just terrible, and like they don't know what they're doing. Well, on the basketball side,
they hit the reset button, but they're not well positioned for a rebuild. They're a ways away now.
Yeah, well, they have two picks this year. Obviously, the Pelicans are going to get better with Boogie, so it's probably going to be like the 13th pick, which it's a deep draft, so hopefully you can still get a guy that is good there. But then next year, their pick is owed to – not next year, sorry. 2 years, their pick is owed to the 76ers, so they have next year's pick. Yeah, and they're not particularly good at drafting. In fact, they're quite awful at drafting, so I don't know how they're going to get a lot better. Boogie was kind of their only hope.
Boogie was. I actually think Boogie will re-sign in New Orleans too. I feel like he wants to prove now that he's not a troublemaker because he's kind of labeled as that. And there's sort of mixed reports. It's not clear to me that he's one of those guys who like clearly is sort of a disgruntled guy. A lot of people say he's not. So it makes me think he's aware of that and is going to want to make it work in New Orleans. And playing with Anthony Davis is going to be pretty fun for him.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he'll try. You know, and it's one of those things where you don't really just make that trade blind. I think they probably had a good idea if he would resign there or not. So
yeah, they're saying they're confident he's going to resign, but I would imagine they'd say that no matter what.
Right, and even if not, this trade is totally worth the risk. Like, I don't think Buddy Hield is a great player. The signs don't point to him becoming a good player on a good team. So,
it is not without risk though for New Orleans. Like the risk is he leaves after next year and all of a sudden their ceiling is a bit lower because they're without two draft picks and Buddy Hield, whatever you think of him. That is a real risk. They would certainly be worse off if he leaves after next year.
Yes, they would be worse off than having
not done the trade. Yeah. And they're not going to win the title this year. So
I still think it's a risk worth taking.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Like, you're giving up a guy who's 23, shooting 37% from three. That's really all he does. And, yeah, the pick this year is valuable. You know, it's a deep draft. It probably would have been a top 10 pick had they not traded for DeMarcus. But good for them. I'm surprised they even threw in that offer thinking it would get accepted, let alone win.
Yeah, good for them. Let's move on, Brian. Amico Hoops is reporting that the Wolves have strong interest in Iman Shumpert. Shumpert's locked up through 2018-2019. He's being paid $10 million per year. Do you think we should pursue a trade for him?
Yeah, I think, you know, where we are right now, it definitely wouldn't hurt us to get a guy who knows how to play defense in kind of a swing position because we really don't have any of those right now.
What do you think this is sort of a salary dump by the Cavs? Do you think we could get them for close to nothing, or are we actually going to have to give up an asset?
I think they know they could get something from us, so I think we're going to have to give something up.
How about Bozzi?
What's he making this year? Do you know?
I think it's $10 million starting this year.
Okay, so roughly $10 million a year over the next 3 years. Okay, sorry, what were you going to say?
I'm just thinking out loud. I think Bozzi would have to be part of that package.
Yeah, maybe
Bozzi and salary, basically.
Maybe. They already have Derek Williams. I don't think they really need Bozzi.
I mean, Bielitsa? He's not gonna play on that team though.
Bielitsa would be so sexy in Cleveland.
Would he?
Yeah, he'd be great. He'd be the missing piece. Sorry, I should take that back. Bozzi has actually been kind of amazing the past 2 months, so he'd probably be seen as a get for them. Yeah, I don't know. I would do it for Bozzi, and who would the salary? The salary would have to be Cole Aldridge.
Yeah, that'd be okay. I could see us trading Cole, and then they could maybe even just waive him, something like that.
Yeah, poor Cole. He should be playing. Whether, you know, for some reason it's not for us, but he should be playing on some team. I think he still has a lot of good basketball left. Yeah, I would do that deal. Would you do that deal? Bozzi for Shumpert?
Yeah, I would do that deal. I would. I think our team surely gets better there. And Bozzi, we both like Bozzi, but he's fairly limited. He's very streaky, and I just don't think he's a guy we're going to re-sign, so we might as well get something for him.
I would agree. I don't think Shumpert's worth the 10 he's getting, but this year he's shooting 40% from three, which is definitely a career high, up 11% from last year, so it's probably a good variance.
I mean, 10 is... But, I'm going to let you finish, but 10 is like close to the league average salary next year. I think the league average salary is going to be like 8 or 9.
That's so crazy.
So it's really, I don't think it's a bad contract.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Sorry, I was going to let you finish. You got more stats?
No, he's averaging 3 rebounds, assist and a half, a steal. He's like a kind of a league average player probably. So, okay. $10 million bucks, here it is.
All right, let's do it. Bring him in. Make it happen, Thibs.
What's so we'd give up Bozzi. I don't know what else I'd give up. Not much.
No, it would just be a bench guy to make salary work.
Would you have Chris Dunn?
No, I wouldn't.
I don't think I would either, even though I don't really care for Chris Dunn right now.
I would not. And I don't think there's any chance the Wolves would give up Chris Dunn for Shumpert. The Wolves are like higher on Chris Dunn than I am, I think, which is hard to find.
Yeah.
Moving on, Glenn Taylor said playoffs are a priority this year for the Wolves. The Wolves have the hardest remaining schedule by opponent winning percentage, and 16 of our remaining 25 games are on the road. We need to leapfrog a few teams, including the Pelicans, if we're to try to get the 8th seed. I mean, I don't fault Glenn Taylor for saying this. What else is he going to say? Like, yeah, we don't want to make the playoffs this year. But I just hope he's not too serious about this and we're going to try to make a crazy deal. Like, bringing in Shumpert's fine, I think, because that sets us up better for the future. But
yeah.
I don't really want any, like, half-year rental guys. I don't think that brings any value. I think the odds of us making the playoffs are close to zero. And I just hope Glenn Taylor's aware of that.
Yeah, I think he knows. Yeah, the only concern is if we make a trade. How about Rubio for Shumpert?
No, I don't like that. I feel like we can get more for Rubio. Maybe I'm crazy.
I don't know if we could, man. And the salaries kind of work. I actually don't like that trade either because I think it puts us in a really big hole at point guard.
And I don't think Cleveland takes that deal. I don't think Rubio would play on Cleveland.
They need a backup point guard.
Yeah, but their offense relies on their backup point guard being able to shoot.
That's true.
I just don't think he makes a lot of sense.
Yep, okay, that's fair. But I don't think we'll make I'm hoping we don't make a panic trade. And hopefully we can get Boz for Shumpert. I'd be super happy about that.
Yeah, and honestly, that deal makes a lot of sense. I think it makes sense from all sides. That's something we should pull the trigger on.
Well, like I said, Cleveland already has Derek Williams, so they don't really need any other bench players.
I guess.
It's a joke. What? Why are you taking that so seriously? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I thought you were really excited about Derek Williams.
No, he's the worst.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised he's even on their team. Forbes put out their annual NBA franchise values. The Wolves are 29th in the league, valued at only $770 million, which actually I thought we'd be valued a little higher than that. Any guess who's below us, Brian, in those rankings?
I'm going to go... So it's got to be small market. They probably don't sell a lot of tickets and don't have a particularly bright future. So I'm going to go with the Pelicans.
You're exactly right. It is the Pelicans.
Oh, snap. I heard recently they have really low attendance.
That was really good. Pelicans valued at $750 million. The Knicks lead the league at $3.3 billion, followed by the Lakers, Warriors, Bulls, and Celtics. I don't really have a question here. I just thought it was kind of interesting information. And, Brian, if you have $770 million, I will be your partner for a purchase of the Wolves.
We could be minority owners. Glenn loves getting more minority owners in.
That's true. I think there's like a 5% minimum or something like that, though, which I don't think I can swing.
I'm not surprised we're second to last. Basically, no one goes to our games anymore.
Which, like, I don't blame Minneapolis for that. Like,
no.
The Wolves have just not put out a good product for a dozen years now.
Yeah, it's been pathetic.
Yeah, it's been really bad. In a league where over half the teams make the playoffs every year. we've been over this, but yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is the prices are too damn high. The tickets are really expensive relative to the product and relative to the market. Like the Minneapolis sporting market, I just don't know why they're so expensive. It's down to just the super loyal fans in the corporate accounts with money to keep getting tickets. But I don't think that's a great choice. But we were in Michigan this weekend. Our buddy's a Pistons fan, and they get tickets behind, you know, a couple rows behind the visiting bench for like $80. And I feel like at Wolves games now, tickets like that are at least $150 to $200.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, and we're probably like a worse team than them. The in-game experience, I think, is fine. It's not great.
They're working
on
it, though. Like the Target, you know, they've made some renovations to the Target Center, and those will be done next year. So I think it's going to be a better fan experience. But like right now, you go down to the Target Center, most people probably park in the ABC ramps. You walk through the skyways, which feel like they're built in the late 80s, early 90s, because they were. And the food's bad. The beer selection's bad. The arena's not pretty yet. So, yeah, I think the in-game experience is a little lacking. All right. We'll move on,
Brian. A-scene.
So, Lance Stephenson played well in his limited time, healthy with the Wolves. However, he has a grade 2 ankle sprain, which was reported by Darren Wolfson of KSTP. He's likely out for 2 weeks or so, and this was reported, I think, about 5 days ago. He's currently off his first 10-day. Unfortunate. I imagine we bring him back, though. He was, frankly, better than I thought he was going to be in limited action. Brian, should we bring him back?
Yeah, I would. I think there's pretty little risk. I think that he added a little bit of spice off the bench, which I liked. He's Lance. He's going to do some good stuff. He's going to do some bad stuff. But I liked having a guy out there who people could give the ball to, and he would try and make stuff happen. So I'd be all for it. He's pretty low risk. Like, even if we have to sign him for the rest of the season, like, we can afford it. We have the money. And why not see if there's something that can be salvaged there?
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. I lock him up, like, bring him for the rest of the season. He might be one of our best defenders already, just a guy on a 10-day. So let's bring him back.
Sadly. And I also think these are the types of moves we should be doing. Like, we have the cap flexibility to try stuff like this and the spots. So let's go for it. Why not?
Completely agree. Let's do it. Brian, did you see the Rails video put out by the Wolves advertising the Target Center renovation? They're going to have new rails?
No.
Okay, so everyone listening, it's like a minute and a half long video. You should go Google, just Google Minnesota Timberwolves rails video. It's insane. Like, it's like they were drunk and on drugs and made a promo video to highlight the railings that are going to be in the Target Center after the renovation. I think it's done tongue in cheek, but it's like, I don't even know what to say. I you haven't seen it, Brian, so we can't really talk about it. But everyone, go look at it. It will not waste your time. It'll probably blow your mind. Moving on. Andrew Wiggins, Brian, a few nights back, became the fourth player under age 22 to record consecutive 40-point games. Do you know who the other three players are, or would you like to take a guess?
Michael Jordan?
No. Under 22.
Kevin Durant?
Correct. That's one.
LeBron?
Yep. That's two. The other one was a little guy who played, well, this is going to give away, played for the 76ers.
Iverson.
Yeah, Iverson. Wiggins was able to join this company because Ricky Rubio let him shoot a technical free throw, which Rubio typically takes, but Ricky knew that would put him over the 40 mark. So Ricky let Wiggins shoot it, made it, scored 40 in the game. Do stats like this mean anything, Brian? Or are they just kind of cool to look at Wiggins' name in that company?
I think it means something. He did it. I mean, he joined the group. I don't think it's any new news to us. He's always been good at scoring, so I'm not surprised.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, it's not like he's going to become Durant because he's in this list, but you have to be – I think the takeaway is you have to be extremely skilled and young to be able to do this. And you're right. It's not like he's better today because he did this. I think it reaffirms that he's an extremely talented scorer and he's really young. I think sometimes we're a little hard on Wiggins, actually.
Yeah, you think so, huh? Why? Tell me more about that.
Well, yeah, he's he's an incomplete player, but his ability to score and his willingness to attack the basket is some. I mean, at his age, it's not like it's unprecedented, but it's kind of unparalleled currently in the league. And
what do you mean by that? There's no one that young that attacks the basket that hard?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's true.
Okay.
Give me one more.
Yeah, he's the best attacker under 21, like 21 and under. Cool.
I mean, that means a lot.
I don't think so. I'd rather he get 5 less points a game and focused on playing defense. We'd be a way better team.
I agree with that.
So,
but for what he is, he's a damn good player. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, we're getting an Iman Shumpert, and he can D people up, and Wiggins can do whatever he wants.
All right. Love it. Love it. Brian, in a different game, this was the Chicago game, Thibodeau had the starters in until about 3 minutes left in the game. It was a blowout win, like I said, against the Bulls. Ricky was asked about it by friend of the pod, Jerry Zagoda, after the game, and Ricky said, no comments. First of all, why is Tibbs playing the starters in a blowout with 3 minutes left? And second of all, clearly it's getting to the players and might create some sort of rift. Brian, what's Thibodeau doing?
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's going to say no comment, it's going to be Ricky. He's been trying to come off as the most angsty of the players with this situation ever since it was moderately public that we wanted to trade him. So I'm not surprised that he was the one to react. Do I think the players overall are upset with it? Probably not. I think guys like to play. Ricky's the only one who gets meaningful minutes that's over like 23, so he's probably needs to play in those minutes, you know. He has less of a need to play in those minutes personally. So no, I don't think it pisses the players off. I do think it was wrong strategically, like they don't need to be there and they should rest when they can.
Yeah, it's clearly wrong. I don't understand. I mean, I guess I understand. Thibodeau's probably like, these guys are young, we're not doing well, they could use more reps. But it's just not the right venue for that. And it clearly is getting to the players. If Ricky's saying no comment, he's obviously bothered by it. Yeah, why does Thibodeau do stuff like this?
I don't know, man. I think it's the two reasons that I could guess are, one, he wants them to get used to the feeling of winning, what it feels like to hold on to a lead and finish out a game. And the other theory is maybe it's punishment. It's like, hey, once you guys show me that you can finish out a game and protect a lead, you know, for 48 minutes, then I'll stop doing this crap.
You're right. It probably is one of those two. It shows sort of a lack of self-awareness. Like, his big knock coming from Chicago was he plays the starters too many minutes. And he's doing that in Minnesota. Now, we do have a terrible bench and we have a young team, so I don't think it's such a big deal. But when you can point to these instances like this one, it bothers me. And clearly Thibs doesn't care and just is going to continue to do things that way. And I just wish he had a little more flexibility. That's all I wished. This probably bothered me more than it should have, but it did bother me.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
All right. Speaking of Bozzi, Brian, a friend of the pod, Dave Benz, tweeted out that since Christmas, Bozzi has scored 53% of the Wolves' bench points. Does this speak more highly for Bozzi or poorly for our bench?
Poorly for our bench. He's playing infinitely better. I mean, up for the season, he's up to 40% on three. So if you just saw his stats, like, he'd look pretty intriguing. But when you watch him play, like, he's just kind of a black hole. And our bench is terrible. We should be able to get more points up than that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it says bad things about our bench. But Bozzi has put together a nice little run lately. Hopefully Cleveland has noticed. And they'll get on the phone with us.
Yep.
Last little news tidbit I have, Brian, is that this is going to make you sad, but Adrian Payne is out indefinitely. It actually is kind of sad. He's being treated for low blood platelets, which is a condition called thrombocytopenia. I don't know. I can't say it. I shouldn't even try it. And anyways, he's not cleared to play right now, and it sounds like it's going to be treatable. It sucks when guys can't play because of medical stuff. Never like to see that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I have no hot takes. It's super sad. I mean, obviously pain drives me nuts, but you never want to see a dude get hurt. Especially when it's stuff like that, which is really scary.
Totally agreed. Brian, let's...
One hot take deserves another.
I mean, there's not much to say. I did just want to mention on the pod because it affects the team.
It does. Get better
what would you
champagne.
Like to do next? Mailbag or where are they now? You pick.
Ooh, I think
it's like one of those you pick. Did you ever like those books from childhood?
Oh my god, Choose Your Own Adventure. Oh, they were amazing. I used to read them all the time. I would I would pick one and read it to the end, and then I would go back and be like, but what happened if I chose this?
I'd do the exact same thing. It was great.
I would always get really disappointed, though, when some of them, when different choices would share an ending. I was like, that was kind of lazy, guys. It's not really that unique.
So you wanted totally unique paths.
Yeah. It's maybe that was the lesson of Choose Your Own Adventure for kids. It's you can get to the same place from different paths.
Man, that's deeper than probably what they were going for.
Probably, yeah. They probably just got lazy. They're like, ah, screw it. You could probably end up in the same cave dead.
Okay, so now you got to choose your own adventure.
Okay, I'm going to go with mailbag. I think the mailbag was super strong this week.
You've got mail.
Well, let's do it. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at TWolvesPodcast. Thanks, everyone, for the emails. Great as always. Let's see. First email is from Mark. Mark, always good to get your emails. I very much enjoy them. Let's see. He suggested a Where Are They Now, which is actually going to be this week's Where Are They Now, Brian. So I'm glossing over that part of the email. He said he started writing this email after the Wolves did something to piss off good variants and reeled off 4 straight losses to put things right where the universe, Imagine my surprise to wake up this morning and enjoy the highlights of a stunning come from behind win over the Raptors. Wiggins and Towns were huge. Could this be the byproduct of the addition of Lance Stephenson, or is this part of a genius plan by Thibs to foster some toughness in this bunch of youngsters? One last thing. The Banana Boat song was released in 1956. Yes, that's 61 years ago. Can one of you guys ask for the T-Wolves event staff to please stop using the tired song of Day-O over and over? It does nothing to rile up the crowd. We might as well just play Minnie the Moocher from 1931 on a loop. It's much superior call and response song. Sorry, just had to rant. He ends the email. Anyways, please make Good Variants a regular guest on the pod. That was absolute comedy gold. Thank you for the email, Mark. Totally agreed about the Deo. It does nothing for me at the game. They should change that. And I think your suggestion is an appreciated one. Brian, do you think Lance Stephenson has turned the tide for the Wolves?
I can't imagine that he has. I feel like Lance is at such a place in his career where that no one really takes him seriously. So I don't think the players are really like getting inspired by Lance. But I still think he can play. Like, again, he's physically the same guy who was a stud in Indiana like 3 seasons ago, who we would have gladly signed for like $15 million a year. So can't hurt to have him is my thought. But no, he is probably not contributing a lot to our winning. Maybe a little.
I still don't understand how Lance was available. Like, if you look at who's on our bench, it's terrible. I mean, our bench is awful. Like, Lance is probably better than most of our bench, and it's very strange to me that we wouldn't have just signed him, you know, to a 1-year deal. You know what I'm saying? Why was he available? Like, I don't understand. He's like,
why is no one else willing to take a chance, you're saying?
Well, he's clearly, in my opinion, he's clearly better than guys who have contracts, and I just don't know why no one signed him to a 1-year deal, which is really low risk.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. You know, guys like this, like, you just hit a point where people are kind of sick of their baggage and they're not worth the attention. I do think he kind of kept his head down with the Clippers last year. There weren't a lot of stories coming out about Lance creating problems. And it does seem that, especially for a bench guy, his inability to share the ball or keep the ball moving is stopping him from getting, you know, like a $3 million a year contract. That's pretty crazy to me. So I don't really get it.
I don't get it either. Let's move on. Next email is from Vaughn. Vaughn, thank you for the email. Vaughn says, I've heard you guys mention that Dunn has been fairly underwhelming this year and after coming into the year with some pretty high expectations. Question is, do you guys think we would have traded Rubio by now if Dunn did meet or exceed those prior expectations? Thanks, Vaughn. Yes, I do. I think that's a really good question. And yeah, I think we would have traded Rubio already. Brian.
For sure.
Pretty interesting. I think that was Thibs' plan probably when we drafted Dunn. It's, we'll draft Dunn, we'll play him, he's going to be great, and then we'll deal with Rubio, and one of those things didn't happen.
Maybe two.
Next email is for Bob. Bob, thank you for the email. Appreciate it. Two parts. One, as a T-Wolves fan, I find myself oscillating between hope for the future and depression of the realistic present quite often. It's been a cycle the last 14 years now. Last pod, you guys sounded like I do when discussing the current team. How do you cope with this? Any advice is appreciated, and I'm sure a lot of your fan base could use the tips. Brian, any advice on how to cope with the constant losing?
Yeah, start a podcast.
It's true. This almost is therapeutic.
It is. Like, it's nice that people listen. But, you know, I also think even if people didn't listen, we'd probably still do it just because it's good to sit and talk for an hour about how happy or frustrated we are about the team. Because there's a lot of emotions with the Timberwolves vacillating between, you know, getting teased by having the most hope in the league with our crazy young roster, and then ultimate disappointment where we're going to finish, you know, below even the lowest expectations for our season. It's a lot to take. So, you know, just talk and know that we're here for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, send emails to us. That's another way to cope. If you're mad, if you're happy, send emails. Love to talk about them. Second part of the question from Bob is, Bielitsa is hot garbage right now. Sorry, Brian. He just isn't a positive to the team. He has no significant skill. My question is, Boz was even worse earlier in the season due to turnovers and predictability, but he turned it around. Do we have legitimate hope for Belly to pull a Bozzy? I'm not holding my breath, but I'm curious how you feel. Brian, what do you think?
I mean, you know what I think.
You already think he's the greatest. But realistically, I mean, what's like a good outcome for him the rest of the season? Like, he contributes somewhat off the bench?
Yeah, I think my hope is he turns it around like he did last season. He gets, you know, he finishes the season strong and can start making some threes and moving the ball. There's a good NBA player in there somewhere. Not a great one, but like a very serviceable bench player who can play point forward. And it's all between the ears with him, and it's really obnoxious.
Yeah, it's tough. He's been disappointing. His contract is also very favorable to us, so it's not hurting us too much. But
yeah, if he finishes like garbage, we should really just trade him to the Spurs or a good team who can actually use him.
Yeah, we probably should. He'd love that, obviously, too.
Well, let's give him a chance to succeed. Honestly, it's not a great situation in Minnesota where the bench unit often consists of like Tyus, Shabazz, him, Cole Aldrich, and someone else. Like, even if he plays well, there's not a lot that can happen in regards to getting help there.
That's very true. Bob ends the email saying a request on volume. He said, I sound significantly quieter than you, Brian. Thank you for bringing this to our attention, Bob. So I tried a couple things to fix it for this podcast, but I'm not sure they're going to work or not. If they don't work, I'm going to get a different mic and we'll fix it. So thanks for pointing it out. We got a virus email. Next email, another one from Mark. Mark, thank you. This is Mark from Poland. Mark said, just finished watching the highlights of the T-Wolves victory over the Nuggets. Maple Jordan went off for 40 points and the monster dunk over Jokic, which set the Timberwolves ablaze. This brings to mind a couple things on how the Wolves can better brand this young star. Why is he not known as the Maple Leap? I did a Google search of this and found nothing. One guy mentioned this on Twitter back in 2013. Should I get this trademark? Is this my $1 million idea? I love the nickname. I think the Maple Leaf is awesome.
I agree. Why not? I think it's strong.
I think it's really strong. Nice job, Mark. I don't know if you can trademark a nickname for someone else, but you can try. That's my advice. And he goes on to say, and when the Maple Leap makes an astounding play, why not cue up Bob and Doug McKenzie saying, I'm not familiar with the song, or even go further by playing Geddy Lee's Take Off to the Great White North. I like all these old song references because he's so mad about the Deo song playing. Please wield your massive influence with the T-Wolves organization and make this happen. And if they tell you that Strange Brew is a dated reference, point to that goddamn Banana Boat song from 1956. Now that is dated. Sincerely, Mark. Mark, thanks for the email. Always enjoy them. We'll try to use our influence with the Wolves and make that happen for you. Last email this week is from Musa from Kazakhstan. Musa, thank you for the email. Appreciate it. He says, now that it is very clear that Jamal Murray was the best possible 2016 draft pick for the Wolves, should we pick Malik Monk and don't overthink it this time around? He is just a more athletic version of Murray. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'll be curious to hear what our boy Jonathan Charks thinks of this. But Monk seems really good. I would really like to get a power forward. So if we can get the Florida State dude, Jonathan Isaac, that would be delightful. Looks like he's not going to slip to us. So if we don't get him, maybe we get the who's the next best big man? God, there's really not a lot of big guys in this draft. Maybe the center from Creighton. I don't want a center, though. Yeah, maybe we get Monk. That's my hot take.
All right. I think it's fine. And you know what? I know I look ridiculous at this point defending Chris Dunn, but I'm not sure you can say it's clear who the best pick was at this point. After 2/3 of a season, I still think it's a little premature. But yeah, it is looking like Jamal Murray's better than Chris Dunn. Last question for Musa is, would you trade LaVine, Gorgui, a 2017 first-round pick, and basically anyone except Wiggins and Kat for Damian Lillard or Paul George? Yeah, I would. Brian?
Yeah, I don't know their contract length offhand, but I think either of those guys instantly makes us better. I would have a strong preference for Paul George because he plays defense and Dame can't. But yeah, those guys would automatically make us, a sixth seed, which would be great.
Yeah, and apparently those trades are on the table. You know, if you just trade Buddy Hield and a draft pick for DeMarcus, who knows what the Wolves can do?
Sadly, I agree.
And here on Twitter, Brian, how are we doing on time?
We've got a minute until we call up our boy Jonathan. So, Twitter, what happened for us this week or since the last pod? Scoob, we got a shout out from Scoob, said it's been a while. He has so many things to ask, but he's just going to relax and listen. But Scoob, don't be afraid to shoot us your questions, man. Got some comments. Teal's podcast from Mike Lewis. Wolves podcast, one of the issues of Z's game is mental part. Perhaps time off will allow him to learn his deficiencies. Hashtag silver lining. Adam, what do you think?
I mean, that's an optimistic take. I don't think that's going to happen. No, I don't think the time off is positive.
Yeah, probably not. I don't think it'll hurt, though. I mean, he gets a lot of time to think about what he's good and not good at. He's probably not just laying in the hospital bed thinking, like, man, I should really get better defense.
Yeah, I think he probably has, as like a 21-year-old, he probably has some other things going on.
No. And then also, Alex Klomstedt said, Teal's podcast, quick note, as a Wolves and Wildcats fan, Lauri Markkanen is pronounced like Kyle Lowry might have a chance to be decent as a defender. If that's true, let's pick him up. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Also, Lat Boy says Tibbs is regretting picking Dunn over Heels. Do you think he is, Adam?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It seems like Tibbs still has confidence in Dunn. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine he would. We could have Boogie right now if he picked Dunn, or if he picked Heald, sorry.
Yeah, I do think that he has a lot of faith in Dunn. He's done a lot of work with bad to mediocre point guards in the past, so I don't think, you know, our hope shouldn't be lost. I think Dunn has a lot of time to improve.
All right. Is that everything on Twitterverse?
Let's do it. Should we call our special guest?
Let's call him up. Special guest today, formerly with Real GM. He is now a staff writer for TheRinger.com, where you can find him insightfully breaking down individual NBA players and teams. He's of No More Questions For You Bro fame from Russell Westbrook. It's Jonathan Charks. Jonathan, thank you for coming on the podcast with us.
Hey, what's up, guys? Fame is probably not the right word, but I guess I'll take it.
You know what? I checked out. First of all, it makes me laugh every time I watch that YouTube clip, and it has over 1 million views on YouTube. It's semi-famous.
I guess there's view inflation now. You know, what's a million anymore?
Yeah, what's a million? I don't know. I've got a podcast that'd take 1 million. Well, thanks for hopping on, Jonathan. So one thing that we're curious about, like, you have a big audience and there's a lot to cover between the NBA and all the different college players. So what's your process like? Like, how do you decide what you're going to write about, you know, for a given week or overtime period?
Well, I mean, it's pretty collaborative. Like, I have an editor, and so we're usually going back and forth. I think I just try to, like, narrow down the scope, because otherwise there's too much going on to really get a feel for anything. So I'll try to, like, watch one or two college players, and maybe, like, two or three teams really in-depth over a given week. And if something breaks, obviously it'll change pace. But it's kind of like if you watch something in-depth for a little bit of time, then over the course there, you watch most of the team, most of the big players, at least a couple of times, pretty at that point.
Yeah, that makes sense. Then, like, by the end of the season, you probably know enough about every team to be dangerous enough to hold a conversation.
Yeah, that's the goal anyway, so I don't know how often I reach it.
Jonathan, how do you get from Real GM to The Ringer? How'd that transition happen?
I think they were just, obviously The Ringer opened up last year. I think they just cast a pretty wide net for talent. I think they were talking to all kinds of people, and I was lucky enough to get noticed. One thing they told me is I had my own blog for a while too, a Blogspot account. It was called Pattern of Basketball. And they really liked that. And that was like a big part of their incentive to hire me. I know also with Kevin O'Connor, the other guy we do, his big thing was he had an NBA draft guide. And they seemed like they really enjoyed, like, writers who kind of did their own, like, hashtag brands, kind of thought outside the box a bit of how to, like, promote themselves.
Nice.
Got it. Yeah, I think we both love the work on The Ringer, and we're kind of big Simmons heads, so we followed him everywhere. So we're very happy you're on the team. So one thing, you know, kind of getting into the Wolves and some of your thoughts, you've done a lot of work on the draft. I mean, Wolves, you know, likely will probably be somewhere in like the 7 to 11 range. What are some of the prospects that you like for the Wolves?
Well, I think the first question, before we even get into that, is whether Thibodeau really wants more young players. He kind of feels like a coach who just wants to flip the pick for a veteran, right? It seems more likely, given where they are, to want to win right now, as opposed to drafting at 19. Is that fair to say?
I think that is fair to say. You know, I think Thibodeau would like some more vets. Do you think it's probable we'll be looking to trade that pick? Do you think we actually end up making a pick with the pick?
I mean, it's hard to say at this point until we know where the Wolves end up and who ends up declaring the draft. There's so many variables. But, like, if I had to guess, I would guess that Thibodeau's going to want trade. He wants to win. He's such a short-term minded coach. I have a hard time seeing him, especially given how much Dunn has struggled this year. He really wants to trust his scouting department and maybe wait 2 more years for the guy. I mean, there's a lot of interesting players, but it just matters how patient is he going to be over the next 2 or 3 years.
So on the point of Thibodeau, we follow the Wolves blogs and community, and some Wolves fans are worried about Thibodeau in general. Mostly due to we haven't really improved much on defense, and it seems like he has some in-game tactical decisions that have been a little questionable. Is there any validity to this? Do you think Wolves fans are overreacting to 2/3 of a bad season, or are there real question marks around Thibs?
Well, I think there's a lot of questions, but it just goes back to, like, it's even more than this season. To me, the big question with Thibodeau is he going to end up playing... I think, is he going to play two bigs with Towns all the time, or is he going to play Towns with one big and four bigs around? It seems like he's more of an old-school coach. He did give Gorgeous all that money. And then maybe Towns can't be a true defensive five. To me, those are the big questions, like whether or not the other stuff will come and go, but, like, does he want to play small or does he want to stay big? And that's why I'd be curious to know, like, with his thought process. Because I want to see Towns at the five, for sure. I'm not sure how much he's going to want to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree, especially with where the league is going. My hope at the start of the season was we would kind of get our own death lineup with, like, you know, Rubio, Levine, Wiggins, and then maybe even, like, Bielitsa there at the 4 to go Towns at the 5. Then we have a ton of spacing, but when Gorgie's in there, it just congests things a bit. We're not quite as open.
Yeah, he got a big contract, so it's hard to say. I guess they're going to stay big. I don't know.
On the point of Gorgie, Jonathan, I'm curious to know, what's your reaction to that contract? I think it was 4 years, $64 million, if I'm remembering right. And, what's your reaction? And what's sort of the reaction around the NBA around that contract? Fair contract, bad contract?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the market for centers, I'd probably take it over Mozgov and Noah. They got paid more than he did. So, I mean, it's not like isolated. You know, isolated, it doesn't seem like that bad a deal. It just goes back to that question we've just been talking about. Like, do you want to play, put more wings around towns and buildings, or do you want to play more bigs?
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. And one where we're very curious to see the answer of over the next year or two. Another question for how we're constructed, Rubio. You know, when you watched them play Orlando, you had some interesting thoughts, and, you know, it was kind of tantalizing to see what he would look like if he could actually shoot the ball. Do you think he's good enough where he can be the starting point guard on a contending NBA title team, given how deep point guard is in the NBA right now?
It's tough because if you look at it, like, how many good teams have point guards who can't shoot? I mean, really, how many point guards who can't shoot even start anymore?
Yeah.
It just really feels like the league has gone away from the things that does best does really, really well, but it's just really tough given the way the league is going to see Rubio. I mean, if you can't shoot, you can't shoot these days. It's just hard.
Yeah. And I think they get super exasperated in the playoffs. Like, when you can slow it down, funnel the ball to one guy who can't do something, I think I agree with you. It's too big of a flaw.
Jonathan, in your article, you know, you did a nice job pointing out the Wolves versus the Magic, and that the Wolves sort of are, I guess, maybe better positioned for end of season success this year. Obviously, it's been a disappointing season by Wolves fans. Do you think the Wolves fans should be disappointed in the season? Or do you think there was too much hype at the beginning of the season with the addition of Chris Dunn and Thibodeau, obviously?
Well, I feel like in general, coaches get a little overrated in the way we look at teams. I hope that, like, Towns, Levine, and Wiggins are still so young. So expecting them to, like, become a defensive powerhouse, even a good defensive team, no matter who the coach is probably a little bit of thinking ahead too much. I thought this year was all about the development of those three guys, more than even, like, wins and losses. And so I guess the tough part is Levine's injury more than anything. That's disappointing, because Levine doesn't let them play. So that could get him out like a year and a half before he's back to where he was before, plus just getting better.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, we recorded a podcast right after Levine's injury, and we were pretty frustrated, to put it mildly. That's a bummer.
Yeah, but I'm curious to hear your thought, but, I mean, you know, as far as thinking about this season as the development of those three, you know, when I kind of think about that, I think Zach was really only the one of the three that got meaningfully better in our eyes. Like, Towns has been amazing lately, but he finished the season strong last year, and Wiggins is, we all knew he could score. He's doing a little bit more this year, but he seems fundamentally the same guy. Would you agree?
Yeah, he's played better, though. Like, I haven't watched them much since Levine got injured, but it looks like Wiggins and Towns are both scoring a lot more. So, I'm kind of curious to catch them after the All-Star break. And it's like, I guess those two guys have the ball all the time now without Levine in there.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it's an interesting way to do it, because it seems like they have enough. They can handle really, really high usage rates. So, maybe if he's played those two guys with three defenders, that might be an interesting way to do it. I don't know. I haven't seen him play much in the last week or two.
Sort of on that point, Jonathan, do you think the team is correctly constructed with regards to our five starters, which is essentially, you know, when Zach's healthy, Rubio, Zach, Wiggins, Gordy, and Towns? We're getting the feeling that there's maybe some, like, those pieces maybe aren't the best pieces together. Do you think there's any truth to that, or do you think they just need a little bit more time because they're so young?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're committed to your big three, obviously, but, like I guess from an ideal perspective, if you have these three young players, would you really want a point guard who can't shoot and kind of like an average center who clogs up the space and is not a great defensive player? Like, just from like a skill set perspective, that might not be the best fit for those other young guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's funny to hear you say surround those two high-volume scorers with three defenders, but what comes to my mind is I don't even think we have three defenders to play with them. Like, that's what worries us. You know, one other question was, you think about the young guys. You know, Zach's hurt, but even, you know, before he got hurt, great scorer when healthy, pretty anemic defensively. What do you think we should do with him? Do you think he's, you know, worth giving up for maybe like a, you know, late first round pick? Would you try and trade him up for a star? Or do you think we should kind of see where he goes? Do you think there's much upside left after the injury?
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I really like his game. I mean, a late first round pick, there's got to be more than that. There's no, he's definitely worth that. I mean,
sorry. Yeah. I meant to say like a mid to late lottery pick, but.
I think I would want to. I'd want to ride it out, especially once he's in. And now he's been injured. There's kind of no choice in the matter. It's hard to see getting fair value for that kind of ACL injury. So like, kind of the die's been cast now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was driving the Chris Dunn bandwagon before the draft. We picked him. I'm now the only one left on it. I think everyone else has bailed. Is it too early to give up on Chris Dunn?
I mean, too early to give up on him, sure. He should. I mean, he definitely has the size and athleticism where he's still projected a pretty good NBA player. It's just like I never really believed in his jump shot coming out of college. It looked real wonky, and like it really came and went at times at Providence. And it's the same thing. And not only can he not, if he's not shooting, he doesn't have the same kind of feel as a guy like he's doing either. So he has less margin for error if his jumper's not there. Like, I guess, really, do you have a shot doctor and you think, okay, I can get this guy shooting again? Too early to give up on him for sure. But I don't know if he was the best pick at the time. Looking back on it.
I got you. So you think just maybe the pick might have been flawed? How much does two-thirds of a season, seeing a rookie just generally play two-thirds of a season, matter in your eyes, Jonathan? Does it mean a little, mean a lot, somewhere in between?
Not a ton. Because for me, like I watched Chris Dunn for like 3 years at Providence, so I had a pretty settled expectation of what he's coming into. I feel like rookies, for the most part, even older guys like Dunn, you got to expect very little from them in their rookie season. So to me, it's more like, if it goes against my expectations, I'm more interested. But if it's kind of following where I think it's going to happen, I don't hold too much more stake in it.
Gotcha. I think that makes sense. And it's nice for you. I mean, obviously, you know more than us, but you really have a deep, like, knowledge base to go with when they're in college. So your perspective on that's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I think is, like, the most valuable part about watching college a lot is because – it's so hard to judge guys as rookies and second-year players because it's so contextual and the transition is such a high transition to the league. So if you come in with a strong knowledge base, you know what to expect a little bit, and you don't get too caught up in the first struggles of the NBA.
It's true, and I think so many of these guys, it just depends on fit and opportunity. Like, we talk about this all the time. Like, I have this weird man crush on Bielitsa, but I think if we traded him to the Spurs where they know how to construct an offense and play to a guy's strengths, like, granted, you could say this about most guys going to the Spurs, but I know, hot take, Spurs know how to use guys, but like, if you just send them to a different team, these guys would have totally different careers. Like, if they were better at playing to their strengths versus getting, you know, Bielitsa gets thrown on the bench with Shabazz and Tyus Jones, there's just not a lot of upside for him. So hopefully Dunn finds his fit in our team. Okay, so we're getting close to the end on time, Jonathan. So we want to play our little game that we like to play with our guests. So basically it's just, would you rather? Pretty straightforward, two scenarios, pick one. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure, let's do it.
Okay, so first one, maybe an obvious choice, but it depends how much pride you have about getting dunked on. But would you rather get dunked on by Wiggins and have it filmed and placed on Instagram, or would you rather take a charge from a healthy Nikola Pekka?
I mean, get dunked on by Wiggins. I'm not a professional basketball player. Who cares? Peck's gonna injure me. That's ridiculous.
That's the correct answer. Yeah, you're not gonna want to take the charge. You could like get seriously hurt, right?
300 pounds. Yeah, there's no way.
Okay, next, would you rather? Would you rather listen to Bill Simmons rave about Jaylen Brown or listen to Zach Lowe gush about Marc Gasol?
Bill Simmons pays the check, so that's an easy one.
That's true. You kind of have to sit and listen to him when he wants to rave about Jaylen. Okay, next one. So you've been to Wolves game. You've seen Tibbs. You've heard Tibbs bark ice every play. When you're writing a column, would you rather have Tibbs standing behind you barking ice or having Doc Rivers complain after every sentence you write?
That's a good one. At least Doc is fun to be around, it seems like, you know. At least you can hang out and talk about after the calm's over. Tim's. I don't know if I want to hang out with that guy too much. So.
Fair. Like, I could imagine, like, having someone behind you just going, ice, ice, for, you know, however long it takes would not be very fun.
Yeah, that'd be rough. All right, I think this is our last would you rather. This one's a little more serious, basketball-oriented. Would you rather trade Chris Dunn for a second-round pick or trade Zach LaVine for, let's say, the 10th pick overall?
Cool. I'm always been a LaVine guy, so I'll keep LaVine. I mean, that's – jeez, that's tough. Trading Dunn for a second-round pick would look terrible. I don't know, if I was a GM, I'd probably trade LaVine because if I drafted Dunn in the lottery – I trained for a second, like a year later, I'd probably get fired. Like, that's not a good look.
Good point. Good point. Gentlemen, we just have time, I think, for maybe one or two more really quick questions. But I was wondering, you know, the people who listen to our podcast, generally, they're all Wolves fans. They're frustrated with the team. What's, in your opinion, what's a good trajectory for the franchise over the next 3 years? Like, you know, we're hoping to make the playoffs this year. I don't think it's going to happen, but... Do we absolutely have to make the playoffs next year? Should we be competitive 2 years from now? So, where do you see our timeline?
That's a good question. I think next year is more realistic. But even if they went like 40, I think like what are they on pace to win right now?
I think right now
like 29.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
29. I think you want to get to 40 next year. Like that's a big deal. That's a 10 game jump. If you get to 40, 45 games, and then the year after that, even it's just hard to break into the playoffs in the West. Even I guess this year's been pretty bad, but I would say if you get to 40 wins next year. Just try to improve by like 10 wins a season. Anything more than that is kind of greedy.
Yeah, that's true. Do you think it's realistic for Wolves fans to think we could be a title contender 3 years from now, or do you think we're still a really big piece away from being able to get there?
I think the biggest question, if they can figure out that that bridge piece between Wiggins at the three and Towns at the five, or Towns at the five, that bridge front court piece is the piece they need to figure out. Like, do they want to be a two big team? Do they want to be a four out team? Can they find that swing man four guy? So I think that's the question. Gotcha. If they figure that out, I think 3 to 5 years is realistic. And I guess it comes down to this year's draft. Because there's a lot of good players in this year's draft. Either they draft someone, they trade a pick. But that piece right there for this year's draft, I think could be that's like the big decision they have to make. If they get that right, I think it'll be really great. If they don't, they might have to kind of stagnate a bit below their upper ceiling.
Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure for the draft this year now. We better get it right.
Well, I mean, small market franchise, got to draft well. There's no way around it.
That's true. That's really our only.
You're absolutely right. Well, I think we're pretty much out of time. Want to be respectful of your time, Jonathan. Really appreciate you coming on the pod. Thank you for joining us. And everyone, check him out. TheRinger.com is where you can find Jonathan's stuff. Follow him on Twitter. And hope to see another Wolves-related article from you sometime soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks, bye-bye. Jonathan. That was very fun. Thank you to Jonathan Sharks for joining us on the pod, Brian.
Mm-hmm. It was nice of him to come on, get some star power in the pod.
It was fun. And you know what? His big point of we need to decide what structure the team is going to take, probably by drafting a player this year, is really interesting. It's a really interesting macro view on the team that I guess – we sort of talk about it, but I guess I haven't heard it phrased that succinctly in a while. So that was pretty cool here. Let's move on, Brian. Finish with a where are they now? You ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
It's kind of an interesting one. This shout out to Mark, by the way, for suggesting this one. From Slayton, Minnesota. He is a graduate of the University of Minnesota. He played for the Fargo-Moorhead Bees, that's B-E-Z, because it's cooler if you put a Z at the end, the Fargo-Moorhead Bees of the now-defunct IBA before being signed with the Wolves on a 10-day contract. He played in one NBA game for the Wolves and is somewhat famous for being one of three players in NBA history to have as many fouls as career minutes. Five fouls, 5 minutes. He was mostly in the game to simply hack a Shaq, We were playing Orlando in the game, and he fouled Shaq many times. He is now a pharmaceutical rep for Pfizer, has two kids, still lives in the area, and his wife survived cancer, is a cancer survivor, and the family still resides in Minnesota. Brian, any idea who this is?
No, I don't know who fouled Shaq five times.
Big dude, played for the Gophers. Trevor Winter.
Ah, Trevor Winter.
Yeah, Trevor Winter. Fouled Shaq five times. That was his whole NBA career. It's pretty great. There's actually a couple of cool articles out there if you guys want to read the story a little bit more. The Star Trib did a nice write-up, and so did, I think it's, let me see, it's like Big and Tall Sports. Yeah, bigandtallsports.com did a nice write-up on it as well. So check it out, guys. And that's what Trevor Winter is up to now. I know people have lost sleep over wondering where he is.
Yeah, that was a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's all I got. Brian, you got anything else?
No, I'm really excited to see how this Cousins trade works out. It should be an exciting end of the season. I actually really hope they get to the playoffs now.
I know. Isn't there a favor to make the playoffs now?
Hold on real quick. Right now, they are. They're only 2.5 games back. They probably have the best, well, they easily have the best two front court players in the NBA right now. Unless you count Draymond as a center. I don't know. They just got to catch the Nuggets and get past the Blazers. The Kings are going to fall way off. So let's put it at like 60%. Does that feel reasonable to you?
Yeah, I was going to say like 50%. So yeah, it feels very reasonable.
The one downside of the trade is they have like legitimately no shooting now. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Drew Holiday. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. But they're going to beat people up, and they've got a lot of talent. So I think Davis will probably shoot a few more threes, but on defense, they should be pretty good.
Yes. Yes, they should. It will be interesting. Big trades don't happen a lot in the NBA, so it's really fun that one happened.
Yeah. Player movement is great. I like the shorter contracts. I think it's a little unfortunate they went back to longer ones in the recent in the new CBA, but it's all good.
Absolutely. All right, I think that's the pod. Kind of, Brian, I think it was your fault this time that we didn't do one sooner, but we really are trying to do this about every 7 to 10 days, and we are going to get back to that. Everyone, enjoy the sort of break of no NBA games for the next few days, and maybe the Wolves will make a push.
A show.
All right, thanks everyone for listening. Keep the emails coming. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at TWolvesPodcast, on Facebook, Two Man Wolfpack. We really appreciate you guys. We always have fun doing the podcast, and we also appreciate the international listeners. Thanks everyone.
Bye.